Do you want to feel happier? Do you want to feel more radiant and more alive? Or to go beyond alive and truly feel like you are thriving? That's what I'm here for. Helping you find that best you that you know is in there. It is. And you can start accessing that you today. It's possible. If you're ready for a shortcut to just that, let's work together. Reach out and let's work one-on-one to transform you and your life into happy, into thriving. Reach out to me and book a quick call. It's in the show notes, and let's get you there. Are you really committed and ready? Then let's do it. Personally, I'm the happiest I've ever been thanks to all the practices that I've made a part of my life. You can be too. It is here for you, I promise. You can also access my course, The Youthfulness Hack, which is all about feeling good and getting radiant and all the things I do concentrated in one spot. Go there today and use code AMY15 for 15% off right now, only for listeners of this show. And if you are truly ready to have accountability and live happy, book a call with me today. The world needs your best. You deserve your best. Hello, and welcome to the Amy Edwards Show. I'm your host, Amy Edwards. I am so excited that you're here today because I have been obsessed with just the phrase becoming iconic since I read it. And that is what our guest today is an expert in. And I cannot wait to get to the bottom of it and find out how iconic we all really already are. Like I said, I'm obsessing. So thank you for being here, because every time you show up, you are showing up for yourself and showing the universe like, hey, I'm here for it. I'm showing up. And that is where the momentum starts. So let's get to it today. Today we are joined by Jen from Becoming Iconic. Jen is the founder of the Becoming Iconic brand. That is a bespoke experience for life, business, and leadership growth through mentoring, boutique agency, a top-rated podcast, and a renowned global magazine for entrepreneurs. She has been mentoring in entrepreneurship for nearly two decades. She has 2 degrees in marketing and public relations, 2 decades of growing multiple seven-figure businesses globally, including Fortune 500 companies, a certified life coach, and a mom of four, because that part gets me. I read all that and then I go, and a mom of four. I'm like, I'm a mom of two. And so like multiply that. I'm like, oh my gosh. So she's all about, Jen, you are all about, and correct me if I get anything off base, but connecting to your own personal power and helping entrepreneurs realize they are created to have it all. And you're helping people grow profitable and aligned businesses that are rooted in integrity, purpose, and legacy.
You got it.
I love it all. And welcome to the show. And I'm just so excited to meet you because I loved everything I read. And even just the beginning of our conversation when we started and sat down together and met for the first time, you were already talking about things that are rooted in those core values, rooted in integrity, purpose, and legacy. And the more I thought, after I read that, I was like, legacy, that is what this being iconic is about, I think. And it's really looking at what you're leaving behind. So nice. Welcome. I don't know what you want to open with, but I would probably ask you, you know, when did becoming iconic hit you? And what does that really truly mean to you?
Well, thank you for having me, Amy. And I had like a bead of sweat go down my brow as I listened to that introduction. I'm like, oh my gosh, there are a lot of things I hold and carry every day. And what a privilege and an honor. So I don't say that in any way, shape, or form other than like gratitude and just complete awe of what has been created and what I will continue to create. That's my promise. But you know what? It's interesting because you said something and like, I'm not sure how you want to start this and like, what is becoming iconic, but there's something I'd love to clarify that really helped me that actually stems into becoming iconic. So you talked about legacy, and for the longest time, I, like most people, thought it's what I'm leaving behind, this ripple effect, the dust that will settle in the room once I'm gone. And that really matters to me, specifically as a mom of four. That's really been my focus and intention, is what kind of example, living example, can I be for these gorgeous human beings, but also what can I contribute to the world and lend to people who I'm meant to lend to. And it was recently that one of my mentors reframed legacy, and it really changed everything for me. And this feels like becoming iconic. And he suggested that, you know, he taught legacy is that thing you leave behind, that you're building something that to be remembered by, but isn't legacy, in fact, living every single day to your fullest potential, treating every day as the last, being soaked in pleasure, being heightened in your awareness, being caring and loving and compassionate to everybody you meet, leading with your values, really caring about the way you show up. And when he said that, I was like, that is legacy. I don't have to wait for my children to receive that or to be remembered by that. I get to actually live in that reputation today and wake up every morning in pursuit of that. And so it really affirmed the whole idea around becoming iconic, because it is the becoming. I mean, tomorrow I hope to be better than I was today. And iconic really is, how do you define iconic? I mean, there's a mom at home right now with her babies doing arts and crafts, and that's her form of being iconic. It's to be the most present mom, to love on those babies. And that is her calling. For me, it was a blend of those worlds, being able to be a mom and present and also thrive as a woman and just see what I could create. And then there's other people who are in a career in the corporate world who, for them, that title, the going to school, getting the degree, getting the job, scaling up to that level was their form of iconic. And so it's not what it is, it's who you're being that I believe creates an iconic person.
Man, totally, totally. And you know, there's something about the word legacy, I guess, because you've heard it over in history class or something, it feels like far afield. It feels like it's out there. And what you just said brings it like right in here. And I was thinking too, when you said it, like, it's kind of funny that it has the word leg in it. So you could like think of it like, oh, it's every step I take. It's like, ooh, my legs are moving. You know, like that is my legacy. It's like, it's in motion. It's in me right now. And I love that, because even iconic, you know, we tend to hold up these figures as larger than life and who we call icons. Like, you know, I'm curious who jumps to mind for you, but it's those everyday moments. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, I had a sense that when I asked you, if I asked you who your biggest icons are, who you look to, you might say something about one of your clients. You might say something about that realness and that everyday legacy, if you want to call it that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's those people that we all know and can look at as like had really done well with their lives. You know, people like Oprah comes to mind. I'm an Oprah fan. I just think she's phenomenal. She's evolved. She's grown. She's just seems timeless to me and has made an impact, has made a change in the world. Now, there's people that don't like her, but guess what? Every icon has people who adore, love, appreciate them. And they'll also have that duality of people who don't. And that's okay, because that's part of being iconic, which means you're out there living your life, you're being seen, you're being heard, which will bring adversity. And adversity chisels you into great leaders. And those people are not without it. So that's one, you know, comes to mind. There's also, you know, in my terms of my faith, and I am open to all faiths. I don't really resonate with a religion, but I look at Jesus. And for me, like that he was simple and did things that weren't just for the elite, for the people that were achieving. He would sit down with the people who he saw with his eyes. Like, that to me is how I want to live. It's taking these examples, these stories, these opportunities to learn through people who have had humility, who have had compassion and love and grace, and who have also really been audacious and bold and stood apart and were willing to be in the deep end in the arena. And that's iconic. But you're right, my clients, every single day, I've had like the coolest day today. It's so neat that you brought that up. Like, today has just been filled with these beautiful sparks in my soul of like, we are doing it. And it has never been about the dollar sign or the commas in the bank account. That is the side effect of contributing. But we are actually fulfilling the call, the ask, the why behind everything that we're dreaming of. And that to me is just what life is made for. It's what we're here for.
How old are you? Do you reveal your age?
I'm 86. I use great skincare. I'm just joking.
Looking phenomenal.
I feel like a wise person in a body. I am 45.
Okay.
And for me, 45, where I think my birth certificate is wrong, I often tell people I'm 35 because that's what I feel. But 45 is what the birth certificate says.
Oh, were you thinking you sound old being 45?
I think for me, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that bit of a hesitation is. It's not a fear. It's I have a lot to do and I don't want to attach to a year or an age. Like that's sort of, I'm not attached to names. I'm not attached to locations. I'm not attached to numbers because I just feel like it doesn't have a lot of significance. It's really an interesting perspective. I just, for me, I don't associate with it. Yeah. Just like, who am I being right now? And I hope that this is just like the spark of my life, that there's so many more years to create and be who I'm meant to be. But yeah. I find sometimes when I talk about age, it can sometimes limit me. There's a point where I can feel a little bit limited, and maybe that was the hesitation.
I feel like it can kind of go either way. On one hand, it can push you to do more, to be like, you know what, life is fleeting and this many years have gone by and like, what am I going to do with this time left, you know? And then I kind of go back and forth. I'm 51. And so I don't know. I think sometimes I really relish being the oldest person around, which shocks me. Like I am really enjoying that sometimes. And I'm like, this feels way better than I thought it was going to feel. And I'm digging it. And so I wear it with pride. And so, you know, I kind of go back and forth. Like, I don't want to attach to it, but in some ways I'm enjoying the like power behind it. So it's a fun thing. That's kind of why I asked to just about like thinking about icons and everything. I don't know.
Yeah. Just
interesting.
And it gives you an edge, doesn't it? You know, there's times where we look at the online space specifically where it looks very young and there's lots of hype marketing, money marketing, all sorts. It's the Wild West. And there's times where I believe people are watching and feeling like they've missed the mark. They missed that opportunity. And I say often to my clients, say, you know what? Age or wisdom is our slight edge. It is what a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old in the online space just doesn't have yet. It's not a better than, it's just a different than, and you're further down the path. There's wisdom you've collected. There's life experience you've collected that they have not yet. So allow that to be your edge. Allow that to like boost your confidence versus it being, oh, I'm 45, I'm 51, I'm 60. Am I too late? It's like, wow, what could you do with all the experience you've just gathered that a 30-year-old can't yet?
100%. And it's all about that framing. Like I'm like queen of the reframe. And I just saw Tony Robbins speak last weekend and he was talking about when he was young and he was like, I don't have the education and I'm too young. And so he reframed that. Oh, I have youth. I have what everybody wants. I have a PhD in results or whatever he said. And then he talked about flipping it when he was older and saying like, now I have the experience. And so no matter where you are, you can find a frame to a lens to look through, you know? Yeah. So when people are searching for that and you're coaching them or mentoring them or working with them, what are some ways that you tell them to find, you know, their deeper value, like what they have to offer?
Well, there's so much that has to be unlearned in my mind.
Great point.
Like, yes. There's a lot of unlearning. I think of it often like an arrow. I use this example or analogy often where with an arrow, you've got to pull it back to fling it forward to its target. And that's really uncomfortable because we always want to be moving forward. Like we're just in this rush all the time. And that can give this unnecessary sense of urgency that we have to get it done and get it done now. And I think there's something really beautiful about looking at an arrow and thinking, okay, the precision of that, when we pull it back, that's not pulling something back where there's lack of momentum. It's getting that precision, aiming at the target, steadying ourselves so that when we let go, it goes exactly where we want it to go. And for me, with that value, going back to your innate feelings and soul and seed is the unlearning. What is expired? What no longer fits? What did I take on and carry as my truth that never really was my truth? And that can feel sticky, and that is not the easy stuff. That is not the sexy stuff in growing business and growing a life, but it is essential for it to become this brand, business, or personal leadership that stands apart, because there is nobody else who has walked your experience. There's nobody else who has your specific perspective. And so if we can peel that back and untether ourselves from a lot of things that no longer belong. Again, not making anything wrong, but just getting back to that precision of where am I going? What do I value moving forward? We get to have that same type of experience.
I like that you said, and not making that wrong, because those are part of what shaped who we are. And so like, it's this line of like unlearning it, but also realizing, hey, that helped me become this original iconic human being soul that I am. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. So what led you to even calling it iconic? I'm kind of obsessed with that word.
Yeah. It's so interesting because you see it a lot now.
Yeah.
When I started, it was rare. And I guess I'm going to take a little bit of credit for that. I feel like I brought it back to the surface in certain ways. So I remember back in 2019, I wanted to move from having a personal brand. I'd been using my name. I'd built a massive business through my name, my personal brand. And I knew moving forward, I wanted to create a company. I wanted it to be bigger than just me. And so I knew I had to change the name. And as I was thinking about it, the word icon actually was the original. Icon came up and then it formed into iconic, and it kept dropping in, and I didn't like it. It agitated me. It didn't belong. Like, I was like, how am I going to declare iconic or icon? Yeah, I've had success, but there are people with way more success with me than me. Yeah, I have leadership, but there are way better leaders than me. So there was that comparison that started to slip in and prevent me from owning it. And I went to a retreat in Laguna Beach, January 2020. And I remember saying to the group I was with, it was this great mastermind. I said, I can't shake it. It's a part of what this is, but there's something that I need to do to soften it, not only for me, but for those people who hear it. And someone said, well, is it like be iconic? And I was like, it's becoming. Like, that's what I teach. That is the premise of everything that I do. I mean, every morning I wake up, my first prayer is, let me be better today in certain ways that I can be than I was yesterday. I'm not asking for everything to improve, but I just want to make those slight adjustments and continue to evolve. And so if that's the premise, it's the becoming and the iconic, you get to decide what that looks like. What I said earlier, you know, it could be a stay-at-home mom, it could be a career, it could be starting a business. But iconic is really, to me, to someone to be iconic, that means you are literally squeezing out every last drop of every single day. You are living your life. Like, when I think of the end of my life, I want to be like that car that squeals in sideways, you know, in the movies. Yeah. That's how I want to exit. I don't want to be all rested and, you know, feeling my peak self in terms of like, I slept and I've got, you know, I am in my perfect peaceful place. I want to be that. And I want to know that I did everything, which could be sometimes a little radical, which could sometimes be like oopsie-daisies and failures and fall down and have to pick myself up, because I believe that's what's meant to be. I don't want to play safe. I want to play well. And well means that I get to be in all aspects of my life and curious and playful and adventurous and all those things.
I didn't realize this was just 2020 that you developed this too. That's not that long ago, you know, and you really stepped into it. How much of becoming iconic is like, what percentage is about attitude and knowing it versus what you've done or accomplished or are doing? What comes first, I guess, kind of like, do you adopt that and step into it? And then you're like, yes. And then suddenly the world recognizes your iconic nature.
Well, you know what? I would say no, actually, because one of the things I love teaching is that readiness never comes first. And so if I were waiting for my readiness to show becoming iconic and then let the world respond, I probably would be waiting, because I don't know if I'm even ready to say I am iconic. I know I'm doing the most iconic thing I can today with who I am today, but I can't say and like declare that with certainty that I am the most iconic version of myself, because I don't know if I'll ever land there. I think even to the day I pass on to there's always going to be this level of upgrade. What I do feel is I get to be a living example of doing the best I can with what I know in this moment. I do believe that I have gathered a lot of wisdom with 20 years of experience to be able to pass that along and support other people to identify as leaders, as becoming, as iconic, to like be audacious to say like, I actually want to be an iconic life coach. Let's do that. You know, because that doesn't mean a better than. That's the biggest thing is I think sometimes when we've thought of iconic people, it's like Beyonce. Somehow she's better than these other artists. Well, not necessarily. You know, her success is her success, but that doesn't make somebody else's smaller or less than. It's just different than. And I just recorded a podcast on this because I feel like this message needs to be heard. And it dropped in when I was teaching my most recent course. And I'd love to offer it here if I can with your question. Is I feel like as women specifically, I'm going to talk to women right now, that we sort of lead from either side of this fence, this big pendulum swing. Number one is arrogance. We're showing up in the world like we have to prove ourselves, which is lending itself to this level of arrogance, trying to be better than, trying to prove how you are better than. And it's actually pushing people away in that feeling of like, I need to posture myself as this big expert, as the person. You're actually turning people away because it's not attractive. And on the other side of this pendulum swing is humility. And this is where I tend to hang out, where we're wanting to be so in humility that we dim ourselves down and almost attempt to be less than. Because mm-hmm. we're so afraid of being on that other side, we actually go to the polar opposite and we're in this like less than attitude. So there's this better than, and then there's this less than. So what's the middle? And the middle is different than. It's identifying how you are different in this world, what you have to offer that nobody else can, the fingerprint that only you have that you can leave on this planet. And when we think about how we are different, we remove comparison. I'm no longer thinking about, oh, I have more experience than you, or you make more money than me. That diminishes. It's gone because all I'm focused on is who am I? What gifts do I have to offer that are different maybe than what other people are able to offer? And it brings the focus back to self. And to me, that anchors us into stable, trusting, safe leadership.
Boy, does it ever. And so that's what you're teaching your next offering on? Is that
I'm doing one currently called Articulate. It's really about using your voice. We're talking about how to be articulate through your marketing and your sales and then holding difficult conversations. I'm about to launch a new program. And I suppose when this goes live, it'll be available. I haven't done a masterclass in a long time because I have a podcast. I feel like it's a weekly masterclass, but this one's called Millions. And it's very different from my brand because I don't talk a lot about money. Mostly because I feel like there's so much money marketing going on right now in out of integrity. I'm going to be honest with you. There's not a lot of integrity in that because I know some of them and I know things that other people don't know. And it's not the full truth. And so I've hesitated. There's me going to that side of the fence of being less than, where I've been so afraid of talking about money because I do not want to come across as that I've decided, no, I'm bringing it forward. And Millions is actually kind of flipping it. It's on its head. It's not how Jen and becoming iconic made millions. It has nothing to do with that and everything to do with me giving you the strategy and energetics to have your million-dollar era. This is about you. Here's the things that you get to know and gather and hold to support you in having your million-dollar era. There's no Jen in that. It's just let me tell you how I've supported clients to create $28 million in sales for themselves. There's some stuff that I know and hold that I can offer to you, but the premise of this masterclass is not look at me and how much success I've had. It's allow me to pour into you everything that I've got to create your success.
Yeah, totally. And I like that you recognized, you know, that you were making a decision from a fear standpoint and from like something outside yourself rather than like, wait, if none of these things were factors, I would talk about this. And so there's like this tapping in, mm-hmm. you know, to what's your truth. Is that kind of what you were describing there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I've been very turned off and worried for our industry, worried for the online space, because mm-hmm. there's so many people buying into hype marketing, so many people being swooned by these things that
seven-figure coach or whatever it is.
I mean, for me, it's not about dimming that down. I mean, I own that even in my bio. It's like I've started several seven-figure businesses. but I don't lead with that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like my presence, the words that I use, the way I show up, the way I hold my clients, the results, that should speak for itself. Because the income has just been a byproduct of the experience that I've created or the results that I've created with clients. And so for me, there's a lot of people leading with that. It's so sexy. It's so seductive. I understand how people are swooned by it. I get it. I would love to know how someone made, you know, they tell you down to the dollar these days on the internet.
There's a screenshot.
The screenshotting their Stripe accounts. And it's like, and they want to like liberate women with women or with money. And I'm like, we are not liberating and normalizing wealthy women. This is not normalizing it at all. So if you look at your event that you were at with Tony Robbins, he did not on the screen splatter all the Stripe payments that came through as a result of him hosting that event. He didn't splatter that everywhere to validate and prove his expertise, his impact. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that wealth is new for women. I understand that. I hold that. I am so excited for us, but we are not doing a good job currently at normalizing it, at liberating ourselves, because it's too much. It's too much proving and not enough just being. Just be it.
Are you ready to up-level your pleasure practice? I have in mind, and the main things that have helped me are the tools that I've found from Wands. Wands creates luxurious products that encourage us all to honor our body, celebrate our sexuality, and live in pleasure, with more pleasure all the time. One of my favorites, if you listen to this show, then you probably already know, is the cervix wand. Wands has trademarked their number one best-selling glass pleasure wand. It's for vaginal and anal de-armoring, and it's designed for cervical and G-spot stimulation. And let me tell you, it's incredible. It's helped thousands of women become more connected to their bodies and their pleasure, and supports them to heal pelvic pain through self-yoni massage and helps awaken more pleasure. Just recently, I've ordered the Venus wand, another trademarked wand from Wands, and it's designed to activate and awaken the G-spot and more. Also, don't miss one of their new offerings, which are free bleed blankets that can be used as waterproof intimacy blankets. They have a beautiful selection now available. But take a look around at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, because they have a huge selection of incredible items like yoni eggs, crystal pleasure wands in amethyst, black obsidian, anything that your heart desires, and so much more. Check them out at wands.com, that's W-A-A-N-D-S.com, and use my link in the show notes to get 10% off, or simply enter my code, Amy Edwards, at checkout. Again, that's W-A-A-N-D-S, wands.com. Y'all, I have started using higher dose products, and I am such a fan. You know, I don't put anything on this podcast that I am not 100% completely behind. And I have a special discount code for you for all higher dose products. I'm so excited. If you don't know, Higher Dose is a wellness company. They have wellness tech products, they have tools, they have supplements, and they have body care. They have so many things that are hot right now too, that are really biohacking and up-leveling our lives at home, which is really cool. They have an infrared sauna blanket. They have an infrared PEMF mat that I'm so excited to be sharing about soon. One of my favorites though is the red light face mask. It stimulates collagen, it activates glowing skin, reduces fine lines, regenerates cells, and it's soft. It's not like one of the hard plastic ones. So you can kind of move it around on your body, which I've been doing. And I am seeing amazing results. I am absolutely addicted to it. I use it every single night. And I'm using it in conjunction with one of their other products, the Glow Serum. And I'm very picky about what I put on my skin. And I am loving the Glow Serum. It's specially formulated to plump and hydrate and stimulate radiant skin, which that's the goal. They have a ton of other products too, magnesium ingestibles, magnesium body care, which has a healing oil and a serotonin soap that you can use in your bath, which I've been using too. It boosts your mood, enhances your skin, and deepens your detox, gets you calmed down. Anyway, I'm a fan, so I'm so excited to offer you 15% off using my code MAGIC15. Go to the show notes. You can click through on the link right there, or if you go to Higher Dose, just enter the code MAGIC15 and you'll get 15% off. Higher Dose has been featured in Goop, Glamour, Elle, Vogue, Bazaar, Allure, basically you name it. And there's a reason why. So go check it out. It's at higherdose.com and enter my code MAGIC15 for 15% off.
Did you know that according to a study, 87% of women who have hair extensions lie about having them? And almost two-thirds of women have done some kind of hair extension at some point. So if you do the math, it's a lot. This show is all about letting go of judgment. So if you don't want to tell, I'm not going to judge you. And if you want to know the best secret for hair extensions anywhere around, it's right here in Austin, Texas at The Collective ATX. They have the most natural, lightweight, comfortable hair on the market, and they specialize in no damage to your natural hair like traditional hair extension methods, which I've tried. I've tried them all. And I didn't even know that your hair is automatically damaged if the extensions are placed anywhere below your ears. Crazy, right? My hair is actually growing in and getting healthier now too. Plus, they keep all their extensions in-house, meaning that you don't have to wait at all. Not to mention color. I'm so picky, I did it myself for years because no one can get it right until now. They were named a top 200 salon by Salon Today in 2023. They've changed my hair journey. Let them change yours. The Collective ATX. Link is in the show notes. Tell them I sent you. Gypsy, hair extensions, Gypsy. Tipsy does not.
Maybe it's that pendulum swing that you were talking about. You know, yes, that happens in so many different things. And that's just this one, like, we've got to just, like, it's just got to do this and settle down. It's just got to swing a little bit and settle down. And you know, I think when you can see it through that lens, even you find more compassion for it, right? You find more compassion for, like, this is part of it. This is part of our journey, you know? Yeah. But you're right. Like, we don't need to prove. Now, that said, I have a question. This is a little bit of a tangent, but how important is style? You know, because, like, I was looking at your pictures and, like, you've got your style down, like, even the way you showed up today and everything. And I'm just curious, you know, I mean, when you think of icon, you think of style for sure. So even if it's like a casual style, even if it's someone that's like in the wilderness or something, you know, so do you talk about that with your clients?
I do, because I have a fashion background. And it's funny you say that.
Is it? What is your fashion background?
I went to school for fashion marketing. I wanted to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I loved it. I was in the fashion industry for a very long time and loved everything about it. And then there just got a point where I was a little too fragile. My spirit was too fragile for that industry. It was like eating me up for breakfast. So I exited and then moved into to different space. But the representation of my brand, the aesthetic, is a representation of me. I love fashion. I love editorial. I love luxury. I was talking to my creative director this morning. We had a team meeting and I said, I am just fancy. I'm a fancy girl. Like, I love luxe. Everything about me is that. I won't drink coffee unless it's a pretty cup. I light candles in the morning. I have fresh flowers around me. I care about the way my house smells. It's neat and tidy all the time. This is a part of who I am, because I care about these things. And I teach this often. You know, people will say, well, once I make more money, then I'll have these beautiful things. I'm like, this is free. You don't need a specific income to invite luxury into your world. It's about intentionality, making sure your desk is clear and proper, putting on something that you feel good in. You know, someone asked me the other day, well, you're going to do this masterclass, millions, like, what are some of the things you're going to teach? And I said, one of the things is that you have no business wearing packaged underwear or lingerie. If you want to make millions, put on pretty things, dress yourself to the occasion. If you are wearing something that came in a package, you know, that you bought and you had to rip the plastic off to get to it, that is not embodying someone who understands beauty and luxury and wants the finer things in life. So you don't have to have the most expensive lingerie, but could you get something that when you put it on, it just kind of like drops you into femininity? Could you get yourself a robe that when you wake up in the morning, you slip your arms through it and it just feels good on the skin and you kind of dance to the kitchen versus stomp with your slippers and, you know, your messy bun? Like, there's these things that we can shift that don't take a big amount of income, but make a massive difference in the way we show up every day.
Yeah, they make a massive difference. I like that, because like, I can so easily neglect little things. I did it yesterday. And then I fucking got in the shower and washed my hair and put a mask on my face and like got a good night's sleep. And this morning I was like, oh yeah, it's like, you like do those things for yourself that are like, technically those are luxurious, you know, a really nice shower with nice products and all that. And it's these little things that don't have to be really outlandishly expensive.
No, right? No, it's literal intentionality. You want more beauty in your life? Invite more beauty in. Be intentional around it. Mm-hmm. You want more wealth, more success? Then make sure you've set yourself up to welcome that in. I refer to it, and I've talked about Oprah already, but this is what, you know, people will always refer to this statement. I say, I'm Oprah ready. So what that means to me is when I wake up in the morning, my house, if Oprah were to show up at my front door right now, I'm not going to be like, oh my gosh, my house is a disaster. You can't come. I don't want that feeling. If Oprah were to show up right now, I mean, I am in my, like, I call it shabby chic today. I'm in my shabby chics, but I would still be able to open the door and say, hey, Oprah, I've been waiting for you. I don't want to be in my pajama bottoms and going, oh my goodness, I can't believe you're here. Don't look at me. Like, I mean, I did a little bit of that with you today. I can't say I'm at my peak self today, but I feel good. This is what I felt like. This was my vibey. I knew I was on calls. I wanted to feel good, comfortable, but also still look presentable. This is what it is. This is what it's about. So if you're waking up and kind of letting your day get away from you, you're not intentional about leading your day, your life will go by so quickly and you'll wonder, like, why did it never click into place? Because it was always waiting for you to make the click, not for life to make the click for you.
Man, you know what I appreciate about all that you just said is that you have four kids. Because sometimes you can talk to people and you're like, okay, they don't have kids, you know? And so I don't know how old your kids are, but you can tell us or not tell us, whatever.
They're 20 to 9. So I have a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, 17-year-old, and a 20-year-old.
Wow.
Good Lord.
Wow. So at one point you had like two toddlers in like middle school and high school or something like that?
Yeah, they were all over the place. Yes.
Oh my gosh, the schedules alone. So if somebody's listening and they're like, I don't have time for that. I remember that old show. I'm sure you remember What Not to Wear. And they would talk to people, Stacey London, I love her. She would talk to people and be like, you have 5 minutes to do this. And they would be, cause they would be like, I don't even have time, you know? And she would be like, that's not true. So like, how do you find time? What are your practices? What are you doing? Like, when are you going to bed? Like, what's going on in your life that you're able to do that? Because I think a lot of people will say, I can't, I don't have time, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I don't have time. Let's just talk about that for a second. This is my opinion, and it's going to be agitating. It might even be, let's call it triggering. I like calling it activating versus triggering. Triggering to me has a negative connotation, right? It's like you're triggering me versus you're activating something in me. If I'm agitating, right? Just talk about reframe. Your reframe. That's how I reframe it. I just think it doesn't have to be a negative. It can be like, why is this agitating me?
Yeah.
So this might be it. And if it is, I'm ready to give it to you.
Okay.
When someone says to me, I'm just so busy. We hear this all the time. First of all, I feel like nobody even thinks about what they're saying anymore. They just say that. It's just easy thing to say. Secondly, if we actually look at the root of why somebody's saying that, the root is I'm more busy than you. That's really what someone's saying. You can do that, Jen. Well, I'm so busy. So basically what you're saying is you're busier than me, or I don't understand you. And I feel like that comes from a victim mentality. I feel like someone is stuck in the messy middle and needs to pull themselves out. So I just want to mirror that back, because the word busy, really, when we use it, it's to be a better than, like, I am more busy than you. If we pull that apart and we actually look at it, it has no clout. It has no substance, because it's how you use your time that matters. It's not, we all have the same amount of time. And four kids, I have 7 streams of income. I host a massive team. I have a husband. I have my health. I'm a daughter. There's a lot of things that I hold. So I could definitely use the excuse of I am too busy. And there are days I choose my words carefully. I will say, when someone says, how's your day? And I feel that overwhelm, that busyness in my spirit, I'll just say, today was really full. It was a really full day. So watch your words, just reframe again. But here's the thing I know for sure. If I get ahead of my day, I get ahead of my day. My day is chasing me versus me chasing it. And it is the best feeling. I get up before I really want to get up. I get up when the house is quiet. And some people have said to me, well, that's so masculine. You know, I want to be in my feminine. It's actually my most feminine time in my entire day. Why? I have a beautiful silk robe. I have my coffee set. I have my candles ready to be lit. I set myself up the night before to really encourage me to take my feet and plant them on the ground and get moving. So everything is set up and created. So when I put that silk robe on and when I'm gliding to my kitchen to make my coffee and my beautiful mug, I am in my feminine. Yes, the masculine was that driver to get me out of bed, but it's not one or the other. It's always been about marrying these two beautiful energetics. And when I do that, here's the thing that I noticed. When my kids wake up, I greet my children and I welcome them into their day versus what I used to do is, come on, get ready. We got to go. Like that frantic energy, I started their day with that because I chose to sleep too long. Mm-hmm. So I was chasing my day from the moment I woke up and I actually projected that onto them. So that's how they started their day and it didn't feel good. So I've changed the way I maneuver and how I structure my day and I'm a steward to it. Like I lead myself really, really well. And because of that, I have those successes and I can hold all these things. It's not perfect, but it is to me the most profound practice. I'm telling you, just get out of bed, even if it's 30 minutes earlier, it will change your day.
I do it too. And the days that I don't, I can tell. And you know what? Yes. I mentioned yesterday, I did that yesterday. I was very tired from Tony Robbins. I was like worn out. And so I let myself get back in bed after I took Gigi, my 14-year-old, to school. And then it just set me back. Like it feels like I've been set back, you know, and I paid for it. But I kind of knew that. And so I think that's a fun experiment for people too. Like test it out, see how you feel, you know, like I know that when the alarm goes off, if I fall back asleep for even 5 minutes, I'm like messing myself up for the day. Cause snooze is a recipe for being tired all day for me. And, anyway, sorry, just had to throw that in, but I feel you on that completely. I love that so much. And what a beautiful way to put about the masculine and feminine and really actualizing that integrated flow. And plus with your kids, like they may think like, oh, this is what being an adult is like, you know, it's frantic. It's, you know, and so what are you modeling there for your kids? So what else is going on there with you in that getting up energy? Like how are you sleeping? What's your sleep like? And what are you eating? Are you meditating? Like what are some of your regular practices that set you up for that success?
Yeah. So in the morning, I choose prayer over meditation. That's my meditation. Whatever it is for you, but quiet time, time with self, time to listen. We spend so much time talking and asking. We spend very little amount of time in our day just listening. And if only we could gift ourselves more of that. And I feel like meditation, that's why the people who do it or prayer, they have such significant and profound insights and ideas and creativity, because rather than going through the world asking, telling, talking, building, they were able to quiet themselves and just listen. That is the power to me in prayer and in meditation and whatever you want to call it. So for me, that is definitely at the forefront. I start my day with a lot of gratitude and intention setting. Like, what does today hold? And I thought of you this morning, Amy. Like I think of the faces and the souls I'm going to greet and meet in that day. And how do I want it to be? What do I want to feel? What do I want to offer? Who do I want to be in that moment? And so that sets me up for success. And I feel like it grounds me into confidence, into assurance, into my leadership. And so for me to start the day that way is wonderful. I love good coffee. So I drink the best of the best coffee. That is like my thing. I nourish my body. I always have water and crystal glasses and everything. I drink out of beautiful things all day to, again, keep on grounding me into the things I want to feel. And I really do have these structures in my day where in the morning and in the evening, my kids don't see the phone. And sure, I could work. I'll be honest with you, I could work 24 hours a day and still not be done the to-do list, but I've made peace to realize there's nothing more important than presence. So being with you right now, Amy, is the most important thing I could do right now. When I get off this call, I have a child homesick. So giving him my presence. Well, my husband's home. We work together well. He's not by himself. He's good. He's looked after. But to give him a little bit of time and presence, because I've been working today. and just gift him that full energy. And then I have my mastermind call and to walk in that room and give them my full presence. Being able to tap into presence is also a gift because it removes guilt. It removes frantic energy because when I'm doing what I need to be doing in that moment and giving it my all, I don't have any, oh, I wish I had regrets. You know, oh, I was distracted. I wasn't the best on that podcast. I can trust myself in this moment. And so that structure of presence, being able to move from one world to another, because when you work at home, let's be honest, I mean, on the other side of this wall is family. My office is in my home. So when I'm on the other side, it's sometimes difficult, and it has been difficult, to shift into mom, shift back into CEO, shift into wife, shift into team, like leading a team. Those things don't come naturally and easy for me. So I've got to have these things that create the structure that I'm like, okay, I'm about to walk in this room. How do I want to present myself? What's the important thing right now? Just paying attention to my son. And I do walk my days with that kind of intention.
Man, I mean, yeah, like everything you're saying is this holistic approach of intention, you know, like getting really intentional. Like when you and I said a little prayer and little words and it set an intention before we started this podcast, I realized that when I first was doing podcasts years ago, I was never intentional about it. And I always had that little bit of frantic energy and a little nervousness and just there's like this relaxing into that space now. And I talk about that a lot on the show because I'm like, that's where can you find more intentionality? And so that's really beautiful because it really is walking that walk of what you're teaching in business, you know?
Yeah.
Like yeah, spills into everything. Let's see. I think that you mentioned when I asked my intake questions that you lost all your social media at one point. And that's, you know, where so many people build their businesses and their, you know, iconicness. And so I think that was a big transformative moment for you. And I was curious about that.
Yeah, that was just last year.
Oh shit, really? Yeah. I figured it must be recent since 2020 was when you started becoming iconic. So
yeah, it was just last year. Last year I woke up and realized I had been hacked and there was just going back. Yeah. And it was 10 years of thought leadership, 10 years of photos and family memories, 10 years of building a community. I had tens of thousands of followers. People would just hire me based on my following. I mean, it was bizarre. It really opened my eyes to a lot of things, but people would say, oh, she must be legit. Look at all her followers. So, you know, it was really interesting to be knocked off that pedestal in certain ways, to be honest with you. And it was a point of humility. When it happened, I remember curling up in a ball and sobbing because I am the sole income earner. And so my business feeds my family. My business pays for our home. My business is what holds us. And I was so riddled in fear that I was going to lose it all this work. And I felt so angry. I felt so betrayed. I was bitter. I thought, who does this to another human? Like, what is the point? So I had to go through that process. And I remember making a very clear decision. I remember where I was, how I was lying in bed, and let's call it a divine moment. And I remember thinking, what if this is actually a real-time story of becoming iconic? What if someone actually witnesses what this means? And this like phoenix rising, coming from the ashes and dusting myself off and going again. And I get to be maybe the injection of energy for someone, the belief for someone that it doesn't have to be the circumstance that takes us down. And I made a choice. I was like, I've done it. I've built it before. I know how to do it. I can build it again. And so I'm in the midst of still building it. I mean, I'm not anywhere where I was, but that's okay. But what I learned, so a really interesting fun fact is I had less than 1,000 followers. So you would think with the podcast being a top rated podcast and a very vibrant email list, everybody would just swoon back over and follow me on Instagram. Didn't happen. Really interesting, like sort of market research of like, but what I learned was people like to hang out with you where they like to hang out with you. So it's really important that you have availability on multiple different ways for people so that you're not choosing for them. They get to choose for themselves. I realized people who listen to my podcast love to hang out with me over on the podcast. I realized people who love my emails love to hang out with me there. And Instagram was its own entity. So that was pretty eye-opening and just, I think, gives people a lot of relief to realize it doesn't have to be just on social to build your business. It actually needs to be in multiple different ways. Mm-hmm. But what else happened was with less than 1,000 followers, I hit $1 million in revenue in 6 months. And I'd never done it in that condensed amount of time before. It made no sense. There's no logic to that. How can someone who's rising from the ashes have that type of reward and turn of events? And it taught me that it has nothing to do with the things we give our power over to. This mm-hmm. number on the internet that we say, oh, well, I only have 700 followers, so I can't build this business. What do you mean? That's 700. Imagine 700 people showing up at your house right now. You're going to fit them in your house? There's absolutely no way. And it taught me the power of one. When did we stop caring about the one client who trusted us and felt like we were their person, the one person who made the choice to hit follow? Like, that's a choice every time somebody does that. That's not just a given, it's a choice. The one person who listens to the podcast, when did that become not enough? And it grounded me and it anchored me and it humbled me. And for me now, I've really had this incredible experience with the online space where I don't give it the power anymore. I realize it all comes from within. And it was a great learning experience for those who have been tagging along and watching.
That's good. That's good message right there. Because like we all get carried away in those numbers and the validation that we can attach to them. So yeah. Yeah. That's so incredible. And way to reframe it to a big, you know, lesson, like way to really look at the bigger picture too.
Right. Right. And my magazine was born. I wanted to do a magazine. I went to school for fashion. Then I went to school for public relations because mm-hmm. I literally wanted to have my own lifestyle magazine. I thought that would be a dream. I'd love to go to cities and find like the cute little boutiques that nobody really knows about, the restaurants that nobody really visits, you know, just the locals kind of know. That was my dream. And I never did it. And when I lost my social media, somebody on my team said, you have a clean slate. If you could do anything in your business that you haven't done, what would you do? And I was like, I've always wanted to have a magazine. They're like, you should do it. I'm like, it makes no sense. Why would I have a magazine? You know what? I have so many things on the go. They're like, you should totally do it. And I did it. And now this magazine in like just a year is in 63 countries. 500,000 people have been exposed to this magazine. It has become a coveted resource for entrepreneurs. And I think, of course, if we only trusted that things in our lives were for a purpose, that sometimes it doesn't make sense. And sometimes that pain that we walk through really does clear the path, like clear that way for us to see where we're actually supposed to go. And it's been one of the most extraordinary experiences.
Wait, you have, it's a hard copy of a magazine and it's in 63 countries?
Yeah. And it's digital as well. So you can get it digital for free and it's every day. You should just see that when we open our inbox in the morning, it's like of people who are downloading the digital copy. It's like, think of Forbes meets Vogue. That's what I've created. Becoming Iconic magazine is like business and advice and leadership and strategy, but then there's fashion and skincare and where to go and travel. And it literally is like an entrepreneurial dream. It's fantastic.
And people don't have to pay for it?
Not the digital copy. The physical wow. copy. Yeah. We have subscribers all over the world. We mail them out all over the world. It's so fun. But we have the digital copy, which people love. Some people just love to flick on their,
yeah.
on their iPad or computer. Yeah.
So it's not specific to Toronto, which is where you're based, no. right? But it's no. like more worldwide. I want one. What? Yeah. I want one mailed to my house. Yeah.
You do go to, it's Becoming Iconic magazine. That's the actual handle. We're building that Instagram. That's a new one. We thought it deserved its own place. But Becoming Iconic, if you go to my Instagram, it's right there. You just click and yeah. you can read the digital copy. We have the most incredible industry moguls. We just started having cover features now. It's pretty epic.
Wow. Yeah. You could teach a masterclass in that. I mean, mm-hmm. that we've had such a steering away from so many, you know, print magazines or whatever. And so how many issues have you had out?
Hold on. 12, 13.
Once 13. A month or every bi-monthly?
Once a month, but we did a summer edition. We just dropped our holiday edition now. So November and December is condensed, but it's thicker. It's like a double issue. but we wanted just to have this like rich holiday experience because there's Thanksgiving in the States and then there's holidays all over the world. So we wanted to like bring that all together. So it's this nice, thick, juicy, delicious magazine to inspire. Like I have an article I write in it called Entrepreneurial Etiquette. So I'm teaching on how to properly set a table, like the etiquette of table setting. I teach all sorts of things around etiquette because it's one of those lost things I feel in our world. There's the Iconic Thought where I teach on business. We have contributors. We have somebody coming in talking about copywriting. We have a contributor who's a vocal artist over in Australia. So people come in and they add articles and contributing spots. It's gorgeous. It's amazing.
Did it ever seem too daunting? Did you ever go like, this is a really big project, like, and get discouraged? And what are your tactics to reframe that or to get out of that if you feel it?
If I would be lying to you, it wasn't a regular occurrence. It's a big project. It's a big project.
It sounds massive especially you have so much else going on. So I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. There's days where it feels big, and the bigness isn't in holding it. I see the vision for this. I know where it's going, and I literally know it'll be a household magazine. Like there will be people who look forward to every issue. The bigness is in monitoring me and my contribution to it. See, I was writing 4 or 5 articles every single issue on top of writing all my content for socials. Like I don't have a copywriter. I do it all. I do it all because I love it. So that was a choice. But then I realized moving forward, is this sustainable? So we've just narrowed it in 2024. Going forward, I don't need to write as many articles. We've honed it in. And we've really turned the intention around supporting entrepreneurs, like giving them this space to come in and gain visibility, to generate eyeballs and heartbeats onto their business, to have a place where they can put their offerings. And I love building community. I love being generous. Like I really love lifting up women. It's just what I'm here to do. And so I've realized it doesn't have to be all about becoming iconic. This can be this place where like, hey, I've always wanted to have an article. I've always wanted to be published. Well, here you go. Like this is a great place to do it. And it's quite renowned. So you're going to have a lot of visibility, which will grow your business and grow your authority.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then, so when you have those moments, what do you do to get out of them?
That's a great question. I remember this too shall pass. I was thinking to myself, this too shall pass. This moment
good,
is
good or
moment.
Bad. Yeah. It sure will.
It's also very indicative to where I am in my cycle. I find I have these loops. So I get into this overwhelm frenzy phase once a month and my team knows it. And they are actually tracking now where again, they can say, you know what, Jen, this too shall pass. Like it's just a moment.
I love it.
So I have to coach myself and they help
me. They've got your period tracker on their on their phone. They're like, oh. Yeah.
Oh, it's like a hot mess for a minute there, but that's okay. But that's not the time for me to be creating. So they can call me into that. You know, if I forget, and that's what my team is. I mean, we are a sisterhood. We have each other's backs and we really do hold each other in our personal lives as much as business. But I remember to breathe. I remember that there's nothing life threatening. There's no unnecessary urgency. And I will not do anything in my brand with force energy. I just won't do it. I'd rather miss an issue and say to the world, this felt forced and I would never give you a forced issue than to do that forced and send that out energy out into the world. I won't do it. So again, I have to regroup, reframe, and notice where maybe my time is being spent where I could have somebody else help me, support, delegate. And again, what we did is just decided there's a lot of articles you're doing, Jen. You are someone who loves to overgive. How can we narrow that down where this is a sustainable project for you and your contribution? And that has made a big difference.
Yeah, for sure. I've noticed several times throughout our conversation, you've said, you know, forced, pushing, those seem like really, not triggers for you, but just, you know, something you're super conscious of. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a practice to really start to recognize that. But do you have times in your life where you were pushing so hard that maybe like you are extra cautious about it now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've all experienced burnout. I've experienced it several times and you get a fear of it, right? I mean, that's what causes that overwhelm, that frenzy, that feeling is like, the worry of going there again. And it can hold so many people back because we're so afraid of being burnt out again that we don't even push our capacity and our limits anymore because we're so protective. So for me, that's the discerning question. I don't pay attention necessarily to the feeling because I know where that's coming from. That's that fear of, oh my gosh, I don't want to get burnt out. And I trust myself that I'm not going to go there again. So then the discernment is, am I forcing something right now? Is this really important? Is like, what kind of energy am I giving this? What kind of power am I giving this? And that point of discernment, just a slight pause to ask myself that question, settles my nervous system almost instantaneously, because I've realized I really do trust myself. I'm not going to hit burnout again. I know the warning signs, but I also know my body doesn't want me to hit burnout. And sometimes it doesn't know to trust me, right? It's like not there yet. That mind that says to us, warning, 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 like that fight or flight. And I can calm myself down by saying, it's okay. We're okay. We're not going to go there again, but let's look at the calendar. Let's look at the list of to-dos and what do we need to pay attention to and what can we let go of in this moment? Mm-hmm. And I literally feel an instant settling.
I love that. An instant settling. I mean, that's training yourself, you know, like just like you did with the intentionality and stuff. Like it's a matter of training yourself. And at least for me too, I find that, you know, the more I train myself to get intentional about it, to slow down, to be present in the moment, the easier it gets, the more I can slow my mind down throughout the day when needed. So, well, we're coming up on about an hour. And so I wanted to ask you if there's anything that we didn't get to that you really wanted to talk about today, or anything that's just coming up in your heart right now, or something maybe that we talked about that you'd like to reiterate.
It's a really generous offer. So thank you for that.
Yeah,
there is something on my spirit today, and it doesn't necessarily coordinate with anything that we spoke about, but I have, I guess it's like a mama bear type energy around it. I've been doing this for a really long time, and I worry that there's a lot of people with beautiful gifts to give to this world, that there are, I think it's important we remember there are people praying for us every single day. There is someone right now praying, going, I just want to find someone who could help me settle my hormones. My hormones are out of whack. There's someone praying right now going, I wish there was somebody that could help me in my relationship and my marriage right now. It is so, there are people praying for the answers that you hold, the expertise that you have, the gifts that you can give them. And if we treat each day and step into our day with a level of fear and protection, it's never going to be seen and felt by the world. One of the things that I teach is really advocating for people to be seen, to be heard, and to be felt. And that's a big call to action. And the call to action is to trust yourself and to trust the world that it can handle it. You can handle it. It's never going to be perfect, but I feel like we're in this culture right now of this or that. We're in this culture of judgment. We're in this culture of protection. And I would ask everybody listening right now to soften. Be the difference, be the North Star, be the love that really ultimately everybody is craving, but some are just going about it maybe in the incorrect way. And I'm asking you to be seen, to be heard, and to be felt, to realize this has never been about us. And this has always been about what can we do to create an impact and an imprint upon this world. It is a big call to action, but you are ready for that. It is available to you, and there are no mistakes. There's no extras in this world. It's not like, oh, Jen, becoming iconic. You know, she was born into this family. Like, I wasn't born into this family or given these things. This was me really being available to the call, the tugs, the intuition, the guidance, and being audacious enough to give it a try. With, yes, fears, there's still fears. Of course, there's fears. We can't get rid of that. That's a human experience. But I don't lead with that. Lead with the intentionality of making a difference. Lead with the heart to want to care and serve and love people. Smile more. Offer more. Say hello more. Do things for others to just be that glimpse, that spark, that light for them that day. And if you do, the reward of that is so huge, and it is so simple, but that intention behind it is imperative.
I mean, that's like what you said is getting out of your own way, you know, getting out of your head and just living that bigger purpose and just not worrying so much about how I'm perceived and all the other bullshit that can come around. Right.
Yeah. There's just, I feel like we're trading fears these days. Like, you know, it was a fear. Yeah. We went through those couple of years with that fear. We won't talk about that. Then we went into the, you know, the whole thing around the world and finance. And like, we're just trading fears. We're just like trading off one to go into the next. And it's a habit. It's a loop. Like, get out of it. Get out of it. Okay. I'll tell you right now, 20 years, I have walked through two recessions. My business thrived through recession. Why? Because people are looking for ways to make more money. Don't let this be a hindrance. Let it be an opportunity. I mean, I'm sure Tony Robbins told you that. You know, this is the type of attitude that makes great leaders. They're seeking for opportunity constantly. They're not wavering and quivering and buying into the cult of average mindset. They're deciding to step up and rise up to the occasion. Be that person.
Well, if that's not the pep talk that everybody needed today, then I don't know what is. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Put that on a loop right there. Yeah, that is amazing. Thank you so much, Jen. I really enjoyed talking to you. I totally resonate with everything that you have brought up today. And especially that, you know, how can we activate ourselves? And when we do feel, you know, the partially negative activation, like, use it, make it count, figure out why, get curious, show up. So thank you so much. How can everybody find you and perhaps get your magazine and all the rest of it?
I think the easiest thing would do is go to Becoming Iconic on Instagram. Becomingiconic.co.co is the website. It houses everything as well. And I'm pretty proud of it. It's a representation.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. Yeah. Yes.
It's a true representation of the work we do within the agency with building brands and beautiful aesthetics, but also support so that people get to actually be in their zone of genius. So that's where I'd love people to go. The magazine is available. You can click and read the digital copy. The agency information is there if you're looking for that kind of service, and mentorship is there if you're looking for that type of mentorship. But it's a really great way to get to know me. And of course, the podcast. I'm proud of the podcast. I'm proud of those conversations. And so that would be another great one to tap into if they are avid podcast listeners.
Absolutely. Which they are if they're listening to this. So yeah, right. Check it out. She's got great Apple reviews, like 5 stars. And like you had like 175 5-star reviews, which is great. What are some of your favorite brands? And by the way, all that you just mentioned will be in the show notes. So anybody can go click through.
What are some
of your favorite brands?
Favorite brands. Oh my goodness. It'd be like, it's like a laundry list.
What jumps to mind? I know I'm putting you on
the
spot here.
What jumps to mind? I just bought it. I'm going to say, are you talking about brands, like any kind of brand? Doesn't matter what kind of brand?
Yeah. Okay. I'm just curious what you like. Yeah.
So I am telling you right now, this is a genius concept. It's called Aroma 360. I'm giving you a shout out. I am not affiliated. Aroma 360. I just bought it for my house, and you stick it on your air system and it brings out the smell of hotels. You can pick the scent.
Wow. Cool.
I love a luxury hotel. I love the linens. I love the experience. You can sense what I love. And one of the things with my home, I feel like we just went through a renovation and everything was top shelf. It just felt like that beautiful experience, but the smell was missing. I'm like, you know, when you walk in the lobby and you're just like, oh, I'm home. I wanted that here. So I would highly recommend it's beautiful. I have all my neighbors are now buying it, but they walk in my house. They're like,
what hotel did you choose?
I chose Hotel One. It's called My Way. The scent is called My Way. It's just beautiful.
Okay.
But people walk in my house right now and their nostrils flare. They're like, what is this smell? And like, I think
it's me. Genius. It's my natural scent.
Right. That's how my house smells. Yeah. So that would be one. I'm really fascinated right now with Amazon. I've been studying Amazon and just like the creation of this brand and like what they're doing. It's fascinating. It's just fascinating.
Well, I never expected you to say that, because when you said if you're tearing your clothes open from plastic bags, I was like, ugh, guilty. You know, I just literally did that today. So yeah.
I don't know if I shop Amazon for clothes. So that's probably the difference. But I'm not fascinated necessarily with the product. I'm fascinated with the concept. I'm fascinated with the evolution. I'm fascinated with how they have something for everyone. Like anybody can buy anything. And the speed of that. And it's just, I'd love to spend time and understand it deeper, but that's a brand right now that fascinates me.
There's a really good episode of Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj. I don't know if you've ever watched that show. It's on Netflix, but he has one from, I think, the first season, and it's on Amazon, and it's pretty fascinating.
I'm going to have to
pretty
check
wild.
That.
Yeah. So I love him, and I love that show. So
what's yours? What's your favorite brand? I'm curious.
Favorite brand. Cause I was one of the reasons I asked too, was I was wondering, like, if you were looking at it holistically, like, oh, this represents, you know, something that is so incredibly good for the world. They're living their values, that kind of thing, you know, plus luxury. So I was looking for tips on that. Cause I like myself some luxury as well. And I like things that are really well made, but I like to have sort of a downtown, uptown kind of a thing. I like things that are more accessible along with something that is more high end. So kind of walking that line. Some of my favorite brands, I like things that, like, I really like, you know, nice waters. I like things that are in glass. Yes. I'm trying to, you know, up my game on packaging and or not packaging. And, you know, like, I can't even think of the name of it because I take it out of the package, but I bought some laundry detergent that's like smells so amazing and, you know, doesn't use any plastic. It comes in little strips. You know, it's like those things are the brands that are getting me right now that are really aligned to my own values too, which are doing the little things that add up to not keep contributing to all the waste in the world. And so I'm trying to get there and angle toward that direction. So
yeah. I love that. It's the details. That's what I think both of us are speaking to as well. Like those details and paying and noticing details and appreciating details that matters so much. And there's some really great companies out there right now who are setting the standard and setting the bar. And I too appreciate that luxury accessibility and the awareness of the overall contributing, you know, what they are contributing or not contributing to the world. I think that's really important. So yeah, that's so good.
Agreed. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And you even have a child there at home that you get to go give some love and attention to now. And hopefully they will be just fine very soon.
Oh, yeah,
and
they will.
And just so grateful for you. Thank you so much for all that you shared today, Jen.
My pleasure. And I appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do.
And thank you.
Yeah,
so
it's just
kind.
A joy. Thank you.
Everyone go find her. Everything is in the show notes, or you can simply go to Becoming Iconic or becomingiconic.co. It's a gorgeous website too. I mean, I was scrolling through it going like, I need new pictures and I need a new website. I was like, this looks like luxury. So anyway, I really dug it and dug you. So thank you so much, Jen. And thank you for being here today. I'm so grateful. If you want to sign up for the newsletter, please do. It's at amyedwards.info or amyedwards.com. And you can catch up on all the shows. And I am probably moving my newsletter, if I haven't yet, to Substack. So you will still get it if you're on the list. Otherwise, you can subscribe to some content there too. So thank you so much for being here, because when you do, you're showing up for yourself and you are modeling to the universe that you're ready for that iconic status in whatever way it takes shape in your life. So congratulations. And I love you so much. Till next time.
This has been the Amy Edwards Show from Overcome Studios. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe. And thank you so much for being here. Sign up for our newsletter at amyedwards.com.